Welcome in, everybody. It is a Wednesday. That means only one thing. It's time now for Supernatural News and Parashare right here on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Right over there, we have our co-hostess. Our co-hostess today is the one and only talented, wonderful, lovely, and creative. We call her the authoritative author. Oh my gosh, I think I have a new... I have a new name for you, Jessica Freeberg. Jessica, would that work for you?
Authoritative author. I like it. I would wear that on a t-shirt.
I got to have a better nickname for you than that. Because that's AA, and that would mean you're going to Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't think that works either.
We'll come up with something. I like authoritative, though. It makes me sound like I have power.
Well, it's either that or sexy scribe. I you have to pick in this case. I don't know. It
depends on the day, I suppose.
Yeah, you're the woman of many hats. You have to pick. I mean, I could come up with a million of them. We could sit here all day and I could pick up nicknames for you, but we have a show to do. Lots of stories today, Jess. Lots of stuff. I should ask you how are things in your life and what's going on with you before we launch into this journey.
Life is wonderful. Same old, same old. I feel like I say it every week. I'm just trying to keep up with all these monster and ghost stories that I need to get to my publisher in between momming and building a patio.
You were going to launch into building a patio over the weekend. How's that going?
Yeah, we're doing it. Yeah, I told my husband that we were out there digging and I was shoveling and sweating and working so hard. I said, aren't you glad you married a farm girl? And he said, well, if I wasn't married to a farm girl, we probably would have hired this done. So,
wow.
Because it was my idea.
Wow. So he was ready to just hire the whole thing out, huh? And just blow money.
Yeah, if it was his way. Yeah, we would have. But we were talking about it and I said, do you know how much money we could save if we do it ourselves?
That's right. Well, that and the satisfaction that with those two hands, four hands, however many hands you got in it, I mean, you can look at it afterwards and go, look it, this is our blood, sweat, and tears right here.
That's right. That's right. We're at the light at the end of the tunnel. We're putting the planks on right now, mm-hmm. and everything is flat. You know, we put the little thing out there where you kind of see if it's, you know, even and everything, and it looks good. So
there you go. Are you going to put a little plaque up there saying built by the Freeberg family or?
We should. We definitely. I thought about burying something underneath that's like witchy or fun. You know, like we left something special under here.
Like your husband's dead body for suggesting that you spend thousands on the porch or what?
No, that is funny you should say that because I did make the comment that this is why people who kill people dig shallow graves.
That's right. That's
it's a lot of work.
By the way, don't tell him I said that. Just saying. Kind of rude, I know, but
between you and I won't say
that's right. That's right. You and I and the thousands of listeners listening right now. But other than that, we'll keep it between us.
It's a secret.
That's right. It's a secret. Lots of good stuff on the show today, Jess. We're going to be talking some interesting alien news today, including Steven Spielberg's new film project on aliens.
Fun.
And why it may be based on a real incident.
Ooh, I'm excited to hear about that.
Yeah, that's coming up later in the program. Of course, we've got some nightmare fuel. We even have a nightmare fuel story from a listener this week. By the way, your listener submissions for stories are coming in, and I want to tell you guys I greatly appreciate it. You can send them in, tim@darknessradio.com, and we've gotten plenty of them this week. I want to thank lots of guys, Jim, Jeff, Tony. A lot of you guys are coming forward and sending those stories in, and I greatly appreciate it. So thank you guys for sending in your stories. China has their AI military dogs out. Roof, roof. We'll talk about that later in the program as well. Lots of ghost stories today, Jess.
Yay, my favorite. Yeah.
And we have a Parashare story as well today. And we've got a story about the Knights Templar, which is unusual. We'll talk about that today. And we'll end things today with a 5-foot lizard in Florida.
Woo! Yikes.
You got to love that. Well, you don't love that if you're in Florida, but we will end that with today's Supernatural News and Parashare. But we're going to start it off today, of course, with that Las Vegas alien story that doesn't want to seem to go away.
It just keeps coming back to haunt us.
It does. I think because it was such a real encounter with these aliens, and it was right there. Not only that, but it was caught on film. Now, these 8-foot aliens that were caught on camera, according to one expert, were making an emergency landing.
Oh.
And according to this expert, who used motion tracking software and AI on a video of that alleged alien crash landing in Las Vegas, concluded that they used a cloaking device to conceal the creatures and craft from humans. Now, you may ask, how exactly was this all set up? Well, experts have claimed footage of aliens lurking in a backyard suggests that their UFO had to make an emergency landing. Veteran crime scene reconstruction analyst Scott Roeder also said the purported aliens, which landed in a Las Vegas family's backyard last April, used some kind of cloaking device to hide from humans. Teenager 17-year-old Angel Kenmore came face-to-face with the paranormal beings in his backyard. Angel said, "We were in the backyard, and then out of nowhere, we just saw a big light fall down. It basically crashed in the backyard, and a couple of seconds later, I saw the big giant creature right there in front of me. It was moving and breathing. It was pissed off like it wanted to do something looking at me." He described the first being as growling like a dog. Angel called 911 and told the dispatcher he saw a tall, skinny alien creature with greenish color, about 8 to 10 feet tall, hiding behind their forklift in the backyard. Mr. Roeder says he has analyzed the footage using motion tracking software and AI. With Jim Quirk, a reporter who produces the Extraterrestrial Reality podcast, Mr. Roeder went through the same process he uses to prepare for trials to point out anomalies in a witness's video. Quirk says he became involved after one of his subscribers, Julia June, pointed out a blur in the right-hand corner of the video. He said, "Now we finally are able to prove scientifically that there were actual alien beings in that backyard." Speaking to Fox News, Roeder said, "Two smoky filters don't match the background," explaining the beings used it to shield themselves from the curious family and police. Roeder and Quirk said a dark blur in the top-hand corner is the head of an alien in some kind of cloaking technique. Roeder said the blurry image that appears to peer over a large fence played bonkers with our software, reducing the pixels in the area. Quirk and Roeder speculated the same cloaking device was likely used on the craft that some believe crashed that night. Mr. Quirk told Fox, "My feeling is something went wrong with this craft, or whatever they were in, and it had to come down and make an emergency landing. They landed in this backyard, and while they were making emergency repairs, perhaps these alien beings are trying to stave off the pesky humans while these other aliens that we don't see are working on this craft." Roeder said, "This is, as far as anyone should be concerned, this is the absolute end. All evidence that shows that we are not alone and that there is an alien presence on this planet," was the other part of the quote that he went on to say. "I think what the AI software was able to allow us to do was to determine that was not just a shadow beyond any reasonable doubt to a degree of scientific probability. That's the same standard that you testify in court, the same standard that can send a suspect to jail for the rest of their lives." Quirk said, "This is bigger than Las Vegas. This shows we are not alone in this world." So there's a bit of skepticism here, Jess, and that's this. AI is not infallible.
Yes.
And AI face recognition has been known to miss a few things. So why wouldn't it miss a few things when looking in this video? And I know they want to chalk it up to cloaking, but why would it not see some dark things in the background and misconstrue it as something else?
Yeah, I can't hang my hat on the AI piece, that's for sure.
I'll show you a picture here of what they're saying. Now, experts say that a smudge at the top of the backyard fence suggests that they used a cloaking device. I'm going to show you a picture here, and you tell me, I know we're over a camera here, but does that look like something that may be suspect to you?
It is hard for me to tell what I'm looking at there.
Right. It's not very clear. I mean, you'd have to blow that up and really, really take a good look, right?
And the struggle with that is when you see something that's kind of, it doesn't have a real definite, you know, tangible thing that you can say that it is, we tend to try to make sense of it with our mind.
Yeah.
You know?
It's, you see a figure, but for me, it almost looks like a figure with two drawstrings. Like I'm wearing a shirt.
Yeah,
hoodie,
like a
right?
hoodie.
Yeah, like a hoodie, right? So, and then there's another figure that's to its left that's wearing what looks like a drawstring, you know, hoodie as well. It almost looks like two burglars, right? It doesn't look like two aliens. It looks like two burglars. Either that or hoodies are fashionable among aliens.
Maybe.
Yeah.
If they're trying to like emulate us, maybe they're like watched a movie where everybody was wearing hoodies.
They were watching Boys in the Hood. They figured,
no, this is what they all look like. This is what they all wear.
That's right. We will dress like Boys in the Hood. As they, you know, approached us. I don't doubt that they had an experience. If you look at the witness interviews, there's just to put it bluntly, they're scared shitless, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't doubt that they had that experience. But at the same time, you know, when you try to dissect something using AI, I think, you know, it's not infallible. You're going to get mistakes. And I think to say that these aliens are trying to cloak themselves, even though it's obvious if their ship had a problem, you're probably not going to have full power and be able to cloak yourself. You know, I think we're kind of stretching here a little bit, trying to give an explanation. So, I don't know. Nice try is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an interesting theory.
Nice try to, you know, explain a situation that you probably don't have the answer to. So,
I do believe the witnesses, though, that I will say. They definitely had an experience, and I believe them 100%. It's just, I'm not sure I'm down with that theory.
Right. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
Our next story has to do with a UFO that was captured on camera over New York during a Blue Angels air show over Memorial Day weekend. An unknown object was spotted in a very brief clip recorded during the Memorial Day weekend activities. The sighting, which was reported to the National UFO Reporting Center, occurred during an air show featuring the Blue Angels, which is the U.S. Navy's famous flight demonstration squadron. The object itself made a brief appearance in footage of Boeing FA-18 Super Hornet from stated location above, looking very high in the sky. This is a quote, approximately 36,500 to 41,000 feet high, the report reads, looking westward from my location, tracing it going north by northwest by eye, that's the location of where this object was, going very fast for a craft that high, no trail seen, vividly tracked it visually for about 9 seconds. Then saw it take an immediate and distinct 90-degree turn downward to about 18,000 feet within 2 to maybe 3 seconds, distinctly able to follow it visually to that level when it simply disappeared. Sadly, the video clip only offers a very fleeting glimpse of the object. Given its alleged speed and maneuverability, it seemingly is unlikely that it was a drone, leaving a big question mark over exactly what it could have been. I tell you what, I'm going to post the footage of this in the description of this podcast, so you can look at the video footage yourself and see the 9 seconds that this UFO was involved in the Blue Angels show. And you can, you know, kind of tell for yourself. I can show you a still footage here, Jess, of what exactly they're looking at.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it's tiny. That's what she said. but it's it's there. And you guys can go check out the video and see what exactly they tracked going across the sky. As to what kind of UFO that is, I'll let you decide whether that's a drone or whether it's an actual craft that's flying in its path. Our next story, Jess, has to do with Steven Spielberg. And could this new UFO movie from Spielberg be his long-canceled alien horror film? There's lots of speculation here, but the release date of the legendary director's upcoming UFO-themed movie has been announced. A couple of months ago, It was reported on rumors that Spielberg was working on a new movie centered on the UFO phenomenon. A return to form for the director, who became a household name thanks to movies such as Close Encounters of the Third Kind and E.T. the Extraterrestrial. Exactly what the storyline of the new movie is remains unclear, but there are some who have speculated that it could be a resurrection of a canceled Spielberg project from back in the 1970s. At the time, Columbia Pictures had requested that he create a sequel to Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and what he came up with was a movie tentatively called Night Skies. Interesting.
Yeah.
This long-lost creation, which was to be a horror movie, had been inspired by the real-life Kelly Hopkinsville encounter, which saw a family from Kentucky reportedly terrorized by alien entities. The film's story centered on a group of alien scientists who would have attempted to communicate with various animals before turning hostile and eventually dissecting the hapless family's livestock. There was even plans to film the movie's opening sequence from one of the space shuttles. Interesting. So they were going to go up in a space shuttle and film the opening sequence.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. Spielberg would ultimately decide to cancel the film in 1981 so that he could work on E.T. the Extraterrestrial instead, which, by the way, became quite the hit, in case you didn't hear. So could the legendary director's new UFO movie be a resurrection of the Night Skies concept? Well, with the film releasing on May 15th, 2026, we won't have too long to find out. I can tell you this much. I do know a little bit about the project.
Do you?
I do.
You have a little tea to spill?
Maybe a tiny. I can't spill too much. I do know. I do have a friend who has worked directly on it.
Ooh, that's very cool.
Mm-hmm. And I can tell you this much. There is a dose of reality in it. Yeah.
Well, this is a teaser.
Yeah. That's all I can say. There's a dose of reality in it. So just buckle up, kids. It's going to be a good movie.
They always are, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. I think people would be impressed. So we'll put it that way. So, yeah, the one thing that Steven Spielberg always is impressive with is just when you think he gets to the edge of fantasy with things, he always brings himself back down to reality and pulls from a real source in order to ground himself and get original ideas. So we'll just say that he's grounding himself.
I'm so intrigued. I can't wait for this.
Yeah. So yeah, I think you guys will be impressed. Our next story has to do with an area known as Area 52. Now, I know you guys have heard of Area 51, but have you heard of the area known as Area 52?
Is that a bar?
No. You've
been there.
No, I wish it was. If it was, I think some veterans wouldn't be sick.
Oh, no. What is it?
Yeah. Well, some veterans are left struggling after they worked at a secretive Area 52, Jess, which is not good. Air Force technicians who studied captured technology at Area 52 are now suffering from health complications. Now, you most likely have heard of Area 51, but what about Area 52? This is the name assigned to a highly secretive U.S. military installation situated around 70 miles to the northwest of Groom Lake in Nevada. Yes, more secret bases. Also known as the Tonopah Test Range, the base is generally believed to be in use today as a nuclear weapon delivery systems research, storage, and testing facility. But back in the 1970s, it was also believed to house captured Soviet fighter jets. Mark Ely, who's a former Air Force technician who once worked on those jets at the site, has since revealed that in later years, he has suffered from a myriad of health problems as a result of exposure to radiation from various types of nuclear tests that have been going on there. Upholding the national interest was more important than my own life, he told CBS News. It scarred my lungs. I got cysts on my liver. I started having lipomas, tumors inside my body that I had to remove. My lining in my bladder was shed.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine how painful that was?
No.
The problem is made much worse by the fact that he is unable to request health care assistance from the government because, as far as they are concerned, none of it ever happened.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He even signed a non-disclosure agreement to this effect at the time that he was working there. Ely isn't the only former Area 52 worker to be suffering from radiation exposure. Dave Crete, who worked as a military police officer at the site, was also exposed to the same radiation and now has multiple health issues ranging from breathing problems to tumors. While billions of dollars in federal assistance has been made available to other government employees who worked at the base, this particular group of men is simply ineligible due to the secretive nature of their work. It makes me incredibly mad, and it hurts me, too, because they're supposed to have my back, said Ely. I had theirs, and I want them to have mine. Area 52, Jess.
Wow, that is so sad and disappointing.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Not surprising, though, darn it.
Nope. Tell you what, we're going to take our break right here. When we come back, we have a little bit of nightmare fuel. Just a little bit. We also have plenty of ghost stories. We have a parishioner from Greg coming up. He sent in his parishioner this week. By the way, if you have a parishioner, it's real simple. You can either email me, tim@darknessradio.com, write out your experience. We'll read it right here on the air with us. You can go to darknessradioshow.com. We got a big blue button right there. You click on that big blue button. We want to hear your lovely voice. You can tell us your experience live and in living color. We'd like to hear your lovely voice on the air. You can leave us a voice note. You've got 2 minutes to do so. If you need more time, just click on that big blue button, continue your story. I'll stitch it together. We'll air it right here on the show. Or your third option, you can make an old-fashioned theater of the mind. Do it at home. Do you have some editing software? Maybe you have some freeware at home. You go ahead and put your voice in there, put some sound effects in there, a little music bed, send it to me. We'll air it right here on the show. So you've got three different ways to deliver a parishioner to us right here on Darkness Radio. We've got a parishioner coming up. We also are going to tell you how scientists seriously believe we could live forever by the 2030s.
Gosh, I don't think I want to.
You don't want to live forever?
I don't know. That sounds like a lot of living.
It does sound like a lot of living. We'll tell you about how in Wisconsin, in Scone, they found some prehistoric boats, you know.
Ooh.
Yeah, we got prehistoric boats. And we're going to end things today about talking about a 5-foot-long lizard down there in Florida, you know.
Oh, no, are you going to talk like this the rest of the show, Tim?
No. No, I ain't, Jess. I ain't talking about that. No way. How? So that's all coming up. That's what we got coming up today on Supernatural News and Parashare. It's right here on a Wednesday on the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Right over there is Jessica Freeberg. Boy, Jess, this is a nice day outside. A little humid, a little hot, but not bad. It's pretty nice.
Sun is shining.
Sun is shining. It's so beautiful outside. The chippers are outside. They've taken about, I don't know, 10, 15 pounds of peanuts and buried it underneath the driveway. I think I'm in trouble. There's a huge, huge, huge hole in the pavement. I think I'm going to rename the house Peanut Road.
But they're so cute.
Oh, they are. Especially when their little cheeks are all stuffed full of peanuts. And they're, I don't know, Spud looked up at me a couple of times today like he knew what I was talking about. I think I've got a psychic link now with chipmunks.
I think you do. I think you could take that on the road.
I think so. I'm going to be the chipmunk whisperer. I'm going to communicate with other people's chipmunks.
That's right.
It's a beautiful day out there, Jess. Beautiful things all around. Life is wonderful. It's just gorgeous. God! Ah! Every time I maintain this positivity, Jess, AI comes and crushes it like a peanut on the porch.
Darn it.
I know, right? What is it? I don't know. One of our listeners sent this story in, Jess. It's about a Winnipeg man who was caught in a scam after AI told him that fake Facebook customer support number was legitimate.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know. Now AI is lying to us. There's a shock.
Yeah.
The line is, you absolutely should not trust AI. It is a very powerful tool that makes mistakes. This according to a computer science professor. The line,
we needed a professor to tell us that.
Right. The line, no duh, comes to mind. A Winnipeg man who says he was scammed out of hundreds of dollars when he called what he thought was a Facebook customer support hotline wants to warn others about what can go wrong. I just felt like I needed to say more because other people are going to fall for this. It was such a good scam, Dave Gaudreau told CBC. Gaudreau says the scammer he called was able to access his Facebook account.
No.
Oh, good Lord. What he didn't know at the time was that there was no phone number for Facebook customer support. Okay, I could have told him this.
Yeah.
You just go into settings, look for how to contact Facebook, and there is no number there. It's all emails.
Just a laughing face, like, haha, good luck.
Jesus. The problem started after Gaudreau, who is a former Manitoba NDP member of the legislature. There's your first problem. It was a politician looking for this. Politicians don't know anything. Got a new cell phone in April. Second problem, and needed to transfer his apps, including Facebook, to his new phone. He should have just took it into the phone store and had them do it.
Yeah, right? That would have been better.
Yeah. But when he hit a problem moving his Facebook account over to his new phone, his wife did an online search, another new problem, two people putting their heads together and getting nothing, and found what appeared to be a phone number for Facebook customer support. So she trusted it.
No.
Yeah. Before phoning the number, Gaudreau did a search in Facebook Messenger to find out whether it was legitimate. The answer he got in Messenger from the Meta AI artificial intelligence search tool was that the phone number he found, I'll give you the phone number, but keep in mind it's fake. Don't dial the phone number, folks. Okay?
Don't call it.
844-457-0520 was quote unquote indeed a legitimate Facebook support number. It's not. Meta AI lies to you. So if you're trusting Meta AI with anything, it's lying to you. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't trust any of it.
So guys, if you put in, do I have a 12-inch cock in Meta AI and it tells you, yes, you do, it's lying to you. Just saying. Gaudreau said, according to Meta, right on the Facebook app, it's telling me that this is right. I had no reason to think it wasn't. Oh, God. It's AI, it's lying to you. When Gaudreau phoned the number, he was asked for his Facebook username, the email address linked to his account, and his phone number, which he gave to the woman on the other end of the line. She then opened his Facebook account. That's when the call took a turn, said Gaudreau. She was trying to tell me that we were being hacked, that our IP address was hacked, and that they were watching every keystroke, he recalled.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, dear God. The woman said she would clear the hackers out, but he had to give her access to his phone through an app she had him download.
Oh, no.
When do you not know this is a scammer?
Oh, my heart breaks for this guy.
But during the phone call, he says someone also accessed his PayPal account and used it to buy a $500 Apple gift card on a monthly renewal.
Oh, darn it.
Oh, jeez. Fish hook. The person on the call also tried to buy Bitcoin, Gaudreau said, but thankfully his bank refused that attempted purchase. His wife caught on first, by the way, because she is the smarter of the two of them. Although she is the one who ended up, you know, finding the number and wanting him to call. She said, hang up on them. This is a scam, Gaudreau said, adding that he still thought there was someone from Meta on the phone because they were able to open his Facebook account. Well, duh, give me your information. I'll open your Facebook account.
Yeah, give me your name, your password, and your phone number, and your social security number.
Yeah, give Jess your account information. She'll open your stuff.
Can help you with everything.
Give a 10-year-old your stuff. They'll open your stuff. Come on. He said, but I did hang up on them, and then we proceeded to call our bank and the internet provider and everybody else. He said, of course you did, because by that point, you're shitting your pants.
Oh, no. That's the worst feeling.
Jesus. Gaudreau canceled credit cards and locked his bank accounts. He filed fraud complaints with PayPal and Visa, a police report, and alerts with the credit bureaus, Equifax and TransUnion. He also filed a complaint with the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center, who probably had a laugh, and they laughed and laughed and laughed. He was pleased when PayPal agreed to reverse the $500 charge against his account. I bet he was.
Yeah.
And said, don't do that again. PayPal was amazing, Gaudreau said. The next day they contacted me and said, okay, we're on it. And then they laughed and laughed and laughed. A CBC reporter called the support line phone number that Gaudreau used without identifying as a journalist and reached someone who said he was with Meta. Asked if the number was for a legitimate Facebook support line, he said, yeah, this is Facebook customer service. I bet it was. The man asked a number of questions, including asking for an email address to verify the account. When the reporter said he wasn't comfortable giving that, the man said, I appreciate your caution, but you're the one who called me. Adding, even I am not asking your name, I'm asking the email ID to confirm that account. Oh, so he was being a little smarmy.
Yeah. It's like he's played this game before.
Yeah. The man then gave the reporter his full name, suggesting he Google it. A search found a LinkedIn account that appeared to show he was the head of a technical solutions consultant at Facebook. CBC messaged the LinkedIn account. The man who replied denied any involvement in the call.
Oh, that is so sleazy.
Yeah. Gaudreau, by the way, also filed a complaint with Meta, the company that owns Facebook. Nobody's gotten back to me from Meta, he said. And that's another reason why I want to bring this forward, because it just seems that they operate with impunity. They don't have to answer to me. There's a phone number, by the way, for Meta online. When CBC called it, an automated recording said, please note that we are unable to provide telephone support at this time. And then directed callers to meta.com/help, which is the proper way to get a hold of Facebook.
Yes, unfortunately, you don't get to talk to someone, but they should be out. They should have someone looking for that kind of stuff, you know, pretending to be them. They should have a team that's on that. Don't you think?
Yeah, they should. Yeah, there should be a more direct way to contact them, and there should be a fraud services department. So,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I blame Meta.
I do, too. I do too. So, yeah. And there's scammers everywhere running different scams. You just have to be, I mean, part of this is on you. You have to be smart about it. You know?
Yeah. You can't trust anything. My son had someone send him one of those text messages. You know, my kids are in college and they're not, you know, savvy yet. But it said, oh, your package has been delivered. And, but we can't send it to you from the warehouse. Yes. You owe us 25 cents or something stupid like that. So he's like, I did the thing and I gave him my bank number. Like, dude, you did what? No. You got to go right to the bank and get that canceled right now.
Yep. And that is such a common scam these days. And you know what? I probably get two of those texts a week.
Yeah.
But
yeah. And he had just ordered something online and he was, you know, hanging with his buddies and did it late at night. And he was like, oh, maybe I put the address in wrong or something. So it like lined up with like the scenario that kind of made sense to him. But I'm like, yeah, don't trust anything.
Nope. You can't. You just can't trust those at all. I mean, there's so many different scams out there now and they're getting a hold of your email address, your telephone number. If you order anything online, boom, you go on a list. They find your stuff and you're vulnerable that way. So that's just the way things are. That's it. Oh my gosh. Another story that tells you just how unreliable AI really is, Jess. A man asked AI how to cook his pizza and is shocked by the tip on how to make the cheese stick.
I can't wait.
Brits have often been left in absolute stitches after seeing some questionable advice spewed out from Google's new AI overview function, with one expert branded as untrustworthy. Here it is. The good news is we're still a while away from AI robots taking over the world, but in recent years, the development of artificial intelligence has propelled into the mainstream, sparking endless debate about its safety and potential ability to steal our jobs and livelihoods. They took their jobs! But it's not all doom and gloom, and AI is already being used to try and better the world. I'll debate that, by the way. In fact, the technology is already being deployed to try and support radiologists in identifying breast cancer in its early stages, where the disease would have otherwise gone undetected. It does have some good uses. However, Google's been working on its AI system since 2017, obviously it doesn't have all the kinks worked out, and recently launched an AI overview feature for people using the search feature. However, there's been some pretty questionable advice given out. We're going to give you a couple of samples. The first one was Jeremiah Johnson, who posted to Google about smoking while pregnant. That's all he put in the search bar.
Okay.
Smoking while pregnant. AI's overview said, doctors recommend smoking 2 to 3 cigarettes per day during pregnancy. So smoke them if you got them, pregnant ladies. It's good for the fetus.
No!
Yeah, that's what AI overview says. So go ahead, light them up. Roll them up, light them up, smoke them if you got them, ladies. The fetus will thank you later. Just saying. That's according to AI overview. Here we go. As long as it's not toxic, Jess, here's what AI overview has to say. They typed in, and this was Jeremiah Johnson once again, typing in, cheese not sticking to the pizza. Here's what AI overview had to say. Cheese can slide off pizza for a number of reasons, including too much sauce, too much cheese, or thickened sauce. Here are some things you can try. Mix in sauce. Mixing cheese into sauce helps add moisture to the cheese and dry out the sauce. You can also add about 1/8 cup of non-toxic glue to the sauce to give it more thickness.
I knew a kid who ate glue in elementary school.
Yeah, you just throw that glue into the, nobody will know. Just throw that glue in, that non-toxic glue to the sauce, and give it a little more thickness. So internet analyst Jeremiah Johnson went viral after creating a thread on X of alleged responses that AI overview gave following its debut. When searching for the term cheese not sticking to the pizza, the bot reportedly responded, cheese can slide off pizza for a number of reasons, including too much sauce, too much cheese, or thickened sauce, like I just told you guys. Now, that sounds pretty reasonable. When the bot continued, here are some things you can try. Mixing cheese into the sauce helps add moisture to the cheese and dry out the sauce. You can also add about 1/8 cup of non-toxic glue to the sauce to give it more thickness. The thread also claims AI overview said doctors recommend smoking 2 to 3 cigarettes per day during pregnancy, and that it's absolutely normal for cockroaches to crawl into your penis hole. I just heard Jess go what and start laughing hysterically as she muted herself. When asked how many rocks shall I eat, the system reportedly said, according to geologists at UC Berkeley, you should eat at least 1 small rock per day. Yummy!
The worst advice I've ever heard.
Did you get your rocks in today, Jess?
Not on purpose.
Okay, just wondering. Speaking to AP, AI researcher Melanie Mitchell branded the technology as untrustworthy and argued that it is not yet smart enough to yield sensible answers. I think this AI overview feature is very irresponsible and should be taken offline, she added. In a statement sent to the Mirror, a Google spokesperson responded to the fallout. The vast majority of AI overviews provide high-quality information with links to dig deeper on the web. They said many of the examples we've seen have been uncommon queries. Like how not to get the cheese to stick or how to get it to stick? That's uncommon?
not uncommon, and I cannot stop laughing about the cockroach.
The cockroach in your penis hole. I know one thing. I'm putting tape over it nightly.
Or a little glue. You can just pack a little glue in there.
I'm putting my pizza sauce over my dick hole. That's what I'm doing. I'm killing two birds with one stone. That's, I'm going to sauce up my dick every night.
So I don't get this cockroaches. This is so messed up.
So Google went on to say, we're taking swift action where appropriate under our content policies and using these examples to develop broader improvements to our systems, some of which already have started to roll out. We're also contacting Chef Boyardee to see if they've got any of that special cockroach dick tomato sauce ready. So we're hoping that'll roll out too in the fall.
Oh, that's a good story.
Yeah. So there's that. Finally, we have to thank our listeners for another nightmare. China's military has shown off their rifle-toting robot dogs this week.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Here, Rover. Here, boy. Come on out and shoot this guy. Just saying. It looks like something out of the dystopian show Black Mirror, but it's just the latest adaptation of robotics for the modern battlefield. During recent military drills with Cambodia, China's military showed off a robot dog with an automatic rifle mounted on its back, essentially turning man's best electronic friend into a killing machine. And why not? You can't pet it, but you can get shot by it.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, why not? It can serve as a new member in our urban combat operations, replacing our human members to conduct reconnaissance and identify the enemy and strike the target, a soldier identified as Chen Wai in a video from state broadcaster CCTV. The two-minute video made by the China-Cambodia Golden Dragon 2024 exercise also shows the robot dog walking, hopping, lying down, and moving backwards under the control of a remote operator. In one drill, the rifle-firing robot leads an infantry unit into a simulated building. The latter part of the video also shows an automatic rifle mounted under a six-rotor aerial drone, illustrating that, or what the video says, is China's variety of intelligent unmanned equipment. Military use of robot dogs and, of course, small aerial drones is nothing new. A CCTV video from last year also highlighted China's rifle-armed electronic canines in a joint exercise involving the Chinese, Cambodian, Lao, Malaysian, Thai, and Vietnamese militaries held in China last November. In 2020, the U.S. Air Force demonstrated how it used robotic dogs as one link in its Advanced Battle Management System, or ABEMS, which used artificial intelligence and rapid data analytics to detect and counter threats to U.S. military assets. And since the Russian invasion of Ukraine in 2020, drones may become commonplace on the battlefield, on the land, sea, and air, with cheap, remotely controlled vehicles able to knock out sophisticated military machines like tanks and even warships. The lethal abilities of drones seen on the Ukraine battlefields has shown them to be great equalizers, enabling military forces with small defense budgets to compete with substantially better armed and funded enemies. China is one of the world's leading drone exporters, but last year its Commerce Ministry placed export controls on drone technologies, citing its need to safeguard national security and interests. Nevertheless, the robotic dogs seem to be getting plenty of publicity with the People's Liberation Army. And the dogs have been popping up on China's heavily regulated social media for at least a year. According to the state-run Global Times, the presence of the robotic dogs at exercises with foreign militaries indicates an advanced stage of development. Usually, a new equipment will not be brought into a joint exercise with another country, so the robot dogs must have reached a certain level of technical maturity, Global Times quoted an unnamed expert as saying. That is absolutely frightening, Jess.
I don't like it.
Just to give you a look at what this thing looks like, imagine that thing running at you in battle.
No, that's like a nightmare.
Isn't it?
And why dogs? Like, why robot dogs? Like, why not
because
robot people.
Because when you see a dog running towards you, you trust it.
I guess.
That's what the brain thinks. When you see a puppy running towards you, what do you think? You want to get down on all fours and you want to greet it.
Yeah, I don't trust that thing, though. It looks like some kind of a metal spider.
Right. It does, doesn't it? I mean, initially it has the four legs of a dog, and initially you think, oh, it's a donkey, and you want to greet it, but then it comes at you with a turret on top of it, and it shoots you, which is absolute nightmare fuel. It really is. Frightening, folks. Frightening what we do to each other. That's all I got to say. Ugh. Absolutely scary. Well, you know what? I think it's time for us to do a parashare story. Should we switch gears?
Yay! I love parashare.
Let's switch gears a little bit. Again, if you have a parashare story for us, one of three ways. You can either email it to us, tim@darknessradio.com. You can go to darknessradioshow.com. You can click on that blue button. And you can send your voice note to us. You've got 2 minutes to do so. If you need more time, just click on that blue button again and send us another 2 minutes. I'll stitch them together. I'll air your lovely voice here on Darkness Radio. Or create your own theater of the mind. If you've got your own voice editing system at home, if you've got your own microphone and everything, your own computer, put it together yourself. Put your voice and different sound effects and music together. Make your own theater of the mind. Send it in, and we will air it here on the show. This message from Greg. He said, my parashare story is this. In high school, I was a bit of a nerd. Oh, come on. Don't be so hard on yourself, Greg. I was on the varsity chess team. Okay, you're a nerd. Just saying.
And the nerd shall inherit the earth.
That's right. The nerd shall inherit the earth. You heard Jess. Also, I was on the physics team. Oh, dear God. Jess. Help this man.
I like nerds. They're my favorite.
Let's go back in time and get them laid, shall we?
Who said he wasn't getting laid? Some girls like nerds.
He was also in the animation club.
Now that's cool.
Okay. He was in the archaeology club.
I love archaeology. I could hang out with this guy.
He was in the model train club.
Okay, I'm not into model trains. But archaeology?
Do you think there's a woman knocking the trains aside, getting up on the train tracks naked and saying, take me?
Maybe. Maybe that's why he's in the club.
I don't think so.
All right. He was a bit of a nerd, but...
Greg says, outside of these things, I kept to myself and didn't say much to anybody.
Hmm.
Sorry, Greg. If I could go back in time, buddy, I'd be getting you mucho tail. I'd take you to the strip club. Just saying. Let's continue with the story anyways. I think that's part of the horror that started out the story. That was the scary part. It only gets better from here. I digress. Here we go. In my sophomore year of high school, my grandfather was slowly dying of cancer. Oh, dear God.
Oh, this story is so sad. Greg, I want to give you a hug.
Take the hug. Take the hug, Greg. Take the hug. You're going to enjoy it. At the same time, I was in third period drafting class where a classmate was constantly picking on me. Now I want to go back in time and fight this kid. Not Greg.
I do too.
Not Greg, no. The other kid. Yeah. One day, I had enough, so I turned around and swore at him so much it'd make a sailor blush. Good for you.
Yeah.
Everyone in class, including the teacher, turned and stared in disbelief in what I said. I sat back down, and a few minutes later, the teacher got a phone call on the classroom phone. After the teacher got off the phone, he told me to go to the principal's office. I gathered my stuff and went to the principal's office. As I got near the phone, I saw my dad waiting for me. I knew my grandfather had just died. I think he meant later, it was my grandfather's spirit giving me courage to stand up for myself as his spirit went to heaven. Thank you for your time, Greg.
Aww.
You know, Greg, I won't disagree with you.
Yeah.
I think in that moment, you might have had your grandfather standing behind you and getting you to get your ire up and telling you, you know what, go get him, kid. I believe that. Absolutely.
I do too.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for you, Greg. You know, it I can relate. I was bullied as a kid. In fact, I might have told the story one other time on this show. I was in third grade, and I was beaten so bad at my front doorstep that I started to see literally the lights go out. The last vision I had was my best friend Jason coming up and hitting the bully that was slamming my head into the metal door that we had on our front step. I mean, he was grabbing me by my hair, and he was slamming the back of my head into our door. And I was losing consciousness. And I saw my buddy Jason come up from behind, and he had a baseball bat, and he cracked this kid in the back of the head. That's the last thing I saw before I lost consciousness. And I remember waking up on my front step after that, and Jason and his dad were standing over me. And I said, "Where's Brad, the kid who was beating me up?" They say he went to the hospital. And I was like, I just said thank you to him. I was in tears. And I just said thank you. But I could have died. That could have been it. This kid was going to kill me.
Yeah. That's so scary.
And for no reason. I mean, just,
people can be so mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And just for no reason. But I get it, Greg. I totally get it. And I'm there for you, buddy. And I know what you mean. But there comes a time. And there was a time in high school I stood up for myself against a kid who was twice my size. And I clobbered him so goddamn hard, I with a foreign object at that. But I only knew to do so because I had had enough. I mean, he stuffed me in a locker because he thought it was funny. It was him and another kid from the football team. But I hit him so hard upside the head that I had the football coach chewing me out because he thought I was wrong. Because his guy was picking on me. But I gave him such a bad concussion, he couldn't play football
anymore. Uh-oh.
But I said, you know what? If your guy wasn't such an asshole and had such an ego, I wouldn't have crushed his skull.
You got to stand up for yourself. I know one time my son was getting bullied pretty bad in elementary school, and he finally stood up for himself and punched the kid. I would tell him, literally, this is probably wrong to say, but I said, you got to either punch that kid or I'm going to, and I'll go to jail.
That's right.
I'm an adult.
That's right.
So he did one day, called into the principal's office, and I said, good for you, buddy. And I took him out for ice cream when I took on the way home.
That's right. They're just, you know, I know we're in a society now that preaches nonviolence. You're supposed to turn the other cheek. You're not supposed to, you know, you're not supposed to, even if someone's picking on you, you're not supposed to swing. You know what? Someone's going to swing on you. You got to swing back.
You got to stand up for yourself.
Yeah. Because otherwise it's going
to
continue.
And we're all supposed to be different, right? Like, we're all supposed to be into different things. If we all liked the same thing, I mean, I think it's cool, all the stuff that Greg did when he was in school, because that's, we need people that think like that. If we all thought the same, we wouldn't have all the stuff that we have in the world.
And I joked about going out and getting him laid, but seriously, I go out and get him laid because he was intelligent, right? I mean, you know, why not? Reward the kid, right? But the fact of the matter is, and you're right, Jess, because we all need different interests. We all need to encourage those different interests. And the world doesn't run on sports heroes and musicians. It just doesn't. It doesn't get anything done. We don't get things done as a society. If the world ran on sports heroes and musicians, then we wouldn't have anybody to fix stuff like the water mains in Atlanta that are blowing up.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, we need people that do all sorts of things that are magicians at different things in this world. And they are. They're truly magicians that know how to do and have different skills. So
that's right. And I would argue, look at us, two grown-ups doing the paranormal news. Nerds.
That's right. Nerds. I'm nothing special. I'm a nerd. So there you go.
But we're into it and we love it.
That's right. That's right. I got plenty of ghost stories here for us, Jess. Speaking of, this next story is about a TikToker who shared their ghost that was spotted in a cemetery on Google Street View.
Ooh, creepy.
Yeah. TikTok user Amy Pendleton shared her spooky findings with her followers on the platform and images from Google Street View that appeared to show a figure lurking in the bushes near a haunted cemetery. Now, this woman has claimed to have spotted a ghost haunting a cemetery on Google Maps. Amy Pendleton showed her harrowing find in a video on TikTok after she saw the face of a ghost on Street View. It was discovered at a cemetery, which is rumored to be haunted. She narrates the video saying, "I think I might have just found like a ghost or Google Maps' first ghost. Google Gilson Cemetery. It is a historic site in Nashua, New Hampshire. Rumored to be haunted. Blah, blah." She says, "Go to Street View, take a 360, and take a little stroll down the road. Just look." As Amy focuses on a pair of dry stone walls, a spooky figure can be seen. Zooming in reveals what looks like the head and torso of a middle-aged man. The ghostly apparition appears just above the walls, between the leaves of a tree. I gotta see here. There's two pictures. I want to see what she's seeing here. Local media say there have been numerous ghost sightings at the small plot in the northeastern U.S. Reports have been made of glowing lights, strange orbs, and fog. Orbs, here we go. And fog rolling in from nowhere at the spot. People claim to have seen a woman wearing a white dress and even a baby wandering in and around the cemetery. That's a little creepy. Babies shouldn't be out on their own, Jess. I've discovered
no.
that. Yeah, yeah. They should have adult supervision. Others insist... I don't mean that seriously, people. Others insist they have heard screaming sounds and have even felt themselves being pushed there. Some have speculated that the phenomena are linked to a specific tombstone, a grave of a child that is said to contain a bullet hole, that according to Amy. The clip caused quite a stir in the comments section, with some claiming that they have also witnessed paranormal activity. Chuck wrote, "That's what they call the gravekeeper. He's very fast," he added. "I have many years of evidence here." Another claimed, "That's my 16th cousin, removed, Hector," she simply said, or Kelly simply
said. Wow, that's specific.
That is specific, isn't it? 16th cousin removed, Hector, Kelly simply said. Creepy. But other posters were more skeptical on an otherworldly explanation. Lexi wrote, "That's just a leaf. You can see the same colored ones above." Amy herself questioned the reality of the specter, commenting, "Google often edits out a person caught by the Google car. The Street View blurring guy did a half-assed job. I mean, is it a bush?" I'll show you the picture here in a moment, Jess, because, again, I have questions about it. The Mirror reported an earlier sighting in Texas, which was spotted on Google Maps, a video made from a clip of Google Maps Street View of the leafy Martha Chapel Cemetery in Texas. Two ghostly figures appear, that's in quotes. What looks like a creepy little girl can be seen peering from behind a tree, and a mysterious cloaked person could be seen lurking in the distance among gravestones. The video has been watched on YouTube more than 22,000 times, and some users reckon the figures are supernatural beings. Uploaded by the Hidden Underbelly 2.0, the post reads, "The first spirit of a child peeking out from the tree, and this is a clear image, so we can see that the entity is grayish in appearance. Users are encouraged to decide what they think for themselves using the coordinates provided." One person commented, "The first one looks like definite proof of something." I'm going to show you these pictures real quick here, Jess, because I have a hard time believing that this is anything. I'm going to show you the Street View. They're extremely blurry, so give it a moment.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's, you know, again, like I said earlier, our brains try to make sense of things that we see.
Right.
That resemble something. Like, we just have to...
Pareidolia.
That's the word I was looking for. I was actually trying to Google it. I'm like, what is that word?
So, Gilson is spelled G-I-L-S-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to look at it on Google Street Maps, and sorry, my hand is shaking a little bit here, so it may not, maybe. So let me grab the extreme one. Okay, so the extreme close up looks like this. This is why they think they're seeing something. And again, I'll argue pareidolia.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, there's something there. You want to make sense of it with your brain, but I think it's a stretch.
Right, because that leaf looks like it might have like shadowy slits for eyes and maybe a shadow that could be a nose.
Yeah.
But in the end, that could be a leaf.
Yeah, I think it's a stretch. I want to believe. Show me a ghost.
Yeah, I know, right? But it's a stretch, and it's only because that leafy part looks like it could be attached to a shadow that looks like it could be a shirt. And then your mind wants to form a face and it wants to form a body. And you're like, oh, it's a spirit inside that bush, right? And then when you zoom out, if you look at the picture on the right, you go, of course that's somebody in a bush. You know?
Right. Yep.
So your mind automatically draws to the center of that picture. And you go, well, of course that's somebody who's sitting in a bush. That's got to be. You know, that's got to be somebody in there. But it's because your brain forms that, it wants to form that picture of somebody sitting in there. You know, you think that you look at the picture and you think, oh, that's got to be like a Lego man or something in there. Tell you what, yeah. I'm going to put this one in the description of the program as well so you can take a look at the picture and you can rack your brain yourself and say, well, I think it's a ghost in the bush, but I'd be willing to bet you look at it too and you think it's pareidolia. So there you go.
You got a ghost in your bush.
That's what I used to tell her. I'll tell you that much. Yep. Another story for you. Again, we're going down that spooky road. My kids ask about imaginary people. Now there's proof that our house is haunted. Spooky people.
Spooky.
Kayla Sampson claims to have captured the closest confirmation of the spirit world on her Ring home security camera after a string of eerie events in her home. I have to ask you this. Do you have a Ring camera at home?
I do. And I have a ghost story-ish with our Ring camera, but you tell me this one first. Okay.
All right. I tell you, I have one that I haven't put up yet. I've had it for a couple of years, and it's because it has a solar panel I have to put up on the roof, and because of my Charcot foot, I'm unsteady. So I haven't put it up yet. Plus, I have a couple of mourning doves that go up on the roof on occasion, and a blue jay. So I don't want to disturb their nest. But
you're like Cinderella.
I kind of am.
You are.
Yeah, a little bit. I got a little Snow White going on with me. I'm just saying, I communicate with all these animals.
You're a princess.
Yeah, but the skirt looks odd with my hairy legs. I'm just saying. Anyways, a woman has left social media divided after she claimed to have video evidence that her house is haunted when her kids started asking about people in their rooms. Kayla Sampson recently went viral after she shared a clip of a fingerprint-activated door seeming to open on its own. The mom captured the incident on Ring home security camera after a string of bizarre incidents around her home. She claimed it was the closest confirmation I have of the spirit world. However, not everyone is convinced, as some viewers believe there is a more plausible explanation. In the caption of the clip, which gained more than 400 likes, she added, "This is my daughter's bedroom door. At the time of the video, my brother was visiting from overseas. This was around 2 a.m. The handle on the door is fingerprint access. From outside, you have to put your finger on the sensor, and then when accepted, push the handle down like a normal indoor handle and enter. Now, from the inside, it is free. No fingerprint needed, just a normal door. So from this video, because the handle doesn't go down, it seems someone is opening it from the inside." I see problems with this already.
Ew.
Okay. Kayla added she found the sudden movement so odd and eerie, but it isn't the first time someone unexplained has happened in this part of the house. The mom continued, "It's at the end of the hallway that has always made me feel uncomfortable. As soon as you turn the landing and look down it, you get the feeling someone is standing there. My oldest son had this bedroom first, and when he was very young, once asked me, why those people stand in his room and stare at the walls? And my daughter, now 4 years old, for the longest time has asked me consistently about my sister and just recently pointed out a picture of my mom and told me this is my sister that comes to her room and she says her mom passed in 2015. She seemed fine with seeing my sister, but now she is afraid to sleep without the light on and insists that a blanket blocks her view of the room, especially the cupboard area, because she doesn't want to see it, but I don't know what it is. Facebook viewers were divided over the clip, as some did agree that the house could be haunted. One user said, "Wow, you're haunted. I mean, as long as they don't harm, and if you could tell them they're not allowed to scare your kids, all should be okay. I live in an apartment, and the old lady who lived here before liked to open and close cabinets and drawers in the kitchen at night. I told her it's okay, but that we don't want to see her. We smell her a lot, and she was a very heavy smoker." Oh, thanks for clarifying. Another added, "Whatever it may be, it's creepy." While a third commented, "That's freaky." But others argued there's a more reasonable explanation for it. A viewer wrote, "This is called a door that wasn't fully closed, and the pressure in the house caused it to open." That's what I'm thinking. No right. ghosts here. And as a second simply penned draft. Now, I'm more partial to that explanation, because if you have a door that locks from the outside that has a fingerprint access, but you can easily open it from the other side and there's no fingerprint access on the other side, that means only one thing. If you don't close it properly from the other side, it opens very easily.
Right. And I would agree with that as a plausible explanation. However, when you've got the kids noticing things and commenting on seeing like people looking at the walls in the bedroom mm-hmm. and then seeing a woman in the bedroom that looks like her sister, I do tend to think, I trust kids when they tell me stuff like that.
Sure, sure. You have a Ring camera experience?
Yeah, we were actually getting packed up and ready to go to the Anderson House Hotel in Wabasha, Minnesota for an event with my ghost raising group. And I was in the kitchen. I don't know if you know a lot about the history of that place, but supposedly there's some gangster history. Dillinger was supposedly one of the last places that he stayed before he was shot. And so we were all excited about the gangster history piece of it because we are gangster history nerds in my group. And so we were really fired up about it. But anyways, I was in the kitchen. I was packing up my bag and getting stuff ready. And we have the Alexa box on the counter that has the screen, and it shows you who's at the door.
Yep.
And it gave a notification that somebody was at the door. And I turned over and I looked at it, and it was a man from like the 1920s. Like, he literally looked like a gangster standing at my door. And I was like, what the heck? My daughter was in there with me, and we both ran to the door, which is just a couple steps away from where we were. And we looked out the window, and there was no one there.
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, hey, I think the gangsters are coming out to play already and telling us they're gonna like give us some interaction when we're there.
Crazy.
It was wild, but we both saw it. I mean, both of us were standing there. We're like, that a freaking man in a gangster costume? Like,
that is wild.
It was cool. Weird.
That is really cool. That is really cool. Well, there you go. See, maybe I need to get my Ring camera back up. I could look at something other than the animals outside.
Well, ghost hunting equipment without intentionally being.
Right, right. Maybe I'll see the old man who haunts the basement. Maybe he'll finally come up for air or something.
Ooh.
Yeah, that'd be nice. We have one more ghost story here, Jess. This headline is, "We thought we had a ghost, so we set up a home camera. And what we captured may be even worse."
Yeah. Yikes.
Sometimes you get what you ask for and then some. If Paranormal Activity has taught us anything, it's that home security cameras can throw up some spooky images at night. From crawling insects to dubious-looking shadows, the technology picks up on anything and everything we might otherwise miss. Now, one woman's spine-chilling kitchen footage has stirred up a frenzy online, with countless viewers believing that she's filmed a ghost. The clip opens up to an ordinary nightmare scene at about 10:15 p.m. Everything is pitch black and nobody appears to be in the room. But in a matter of seconds, a long, thin claw grabs the camera lens and drags it to the right. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Viewers never see who or what the culprit actually is. We always had the feeling we weren't the only ones living there, the woman posted to Facebook. My mother wanted to see if she could find out more as to where some noises were coming from and decided to set up a motion detector camera in her home just a couple of days ago. She has caught a few orbs. Here we go with the orbs, energy connected to ghosts or spirits over the past couple of days, but caught this on camera last night. Anyone have any other thoughts or ideas as to what it could be? Seems to be through and also sounds like it may be taps on the camera. I have an idea, though, when they say that. This explanation didn't garner much support among other viewers, however, as many had an even more terrifying explanation. One person wrote, "Spider. I had the same and thought we had an intruder," as others claimed in, "some rodent and arm of something." One of Britain's leading paranormal researchers has now shed some light on the confusion. Professor Chris French, who recently penned the book, The Science of Weird Shit, Why Our Mind Conjures the Paranormal, and who heads up Godsmith's Anomalistic Psychology Unit, hard to say this time of day, told The Mirror, "It's hard to understand why anybody would even think for a second that that is a ghost. What sort of a ghost is it supposed to be? The ghost of a spider, perhaps?" He says.
Yeah, sounds like it might be a spider.
Or maybe, just maybe, an actual spider would be a more plausible explanation. Of course, we cannot be sure that it has been caught on camera here without further explanation or evidence or investigation, but given the general lack of convincing evidence that ghosts exist at all, he says, it is much more likely that it is something mundane here rather than something supernatural. The camera moving culprit could be one of a number of spider species. Professor Sarah Goodacre, or the University of Nottingham's Spider Lab, claimed the vision is the right size to be the leg of some kind. She told The Mirror that absolutely looks like what I'd expect a spider had spun a line of silk across the view of the camera. It's the right size or shape of a spider's leg and silk, which is very strong stuff. In terms of sound, my guess is that the web is attached to other debris outside the field of view, and perhaps this other stuff is what you're hearing. Bottom line is that any number of spiders could look like these images, and they're often active when the light is low, so you might not see them in daylight, a case of utterly normal with nothing spooky in sight. I was going to say spider or rodent, because if they're seeing a claw, if you've ever seen a mouse's paw, or even a chipmunk, if you've ever seen a chipmunk's paw, it's absolutely ugly. And it looks evil. Like a chipmunk's paw looks evil because it's long and they've got very sharp nails.
Yeah.
So, it looks long and evil. They're cutest creatures, but they've got the ugliest looking paws.
They've got evil hands.
They do. So it wouldn't surprise me if it were something like that. That's for sure. We're going to switch gears a little bit here, Jess. There's been a new legendary Knights Templar symbol that's puzzled and fascinated people since the Middle Ages. And now there's a new article out there that thinks they might have figured out slightly what this symbol is all about. Now, what is this symbol? Well, it's simply two Knights Templar riding together on a horse. And I'll show you, Jess, what this thing looks like. And then it's got some lettering around it. And it's a wax symbol.
Okay. Well, they look like they're enjoying themselves.
That's not the way you should put that, Jess. That didn't sound right. Especially with those of us with a dirty mind. But they're riding, and they both have spears and shields as they're riding on horseback. And people are trying to figure out what exactly this sample means of this wax seal. The Knights Templar, a legendary monistic military order forged in the fires of the Crusades, continue to enthrall 21st century audiences. From the time of their founding in 1119 to their dissolution in 1312, supposedly, oink, oink.
Right.
The Templars' mission was to defend Christian kingdoms in the Holy Land against the various Muslim powers that sought to return the region to Islamic rule. Now, in the service of this mission, the order fused two defining institutions of the early Middle Ages, the mounted knight and the pious monk. At the time, this made the Templars something of a puzzle. How could someone be both a pious monk and a ferocious warrior? The Templars themselves tried to address this question in their symbology, which proved as puzzling as the order itself. One of the Templars' more enigmatic symbols was their wax seal, which was two knights riding a single horse. In the Middle Ages, people used seals to protect important communications from forgery, acting like a signature. Everyone from individuals to organizations had their own unique seal. While the images on seals could be relatively simple and straightforward, they sometimes conveyed more subtle messages. The message of the Templar's seal has always been open to interpretation. Now, while researching medieval geopolitics and the Third Crusade, the writer of this article came across several interpretations of the Templar seal. The most popular ties to the shared steed of the Templar's vow of poverty. While the order was not literally financially constrained, far from it, the symbol likely was meant to demonstrate that the Templars took the vow very seriously. Another draws a connection to the Gospel of Matthew, where one figure represents a knight and the other Jesus Christ. This interpretation stems from a Bible passage where Christ says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them." The idea is that the two knights on a single horse embody the ever-present companionship of Christ with the Templars who had gathered in his name. As part of a campaign to discredit the Templars, some suggest the two knights symbolize the homosexuality said to be rampant within the order. Now, some propose that the two knights represent a duality within the order themselves. The single horse could signify the unification of their seemingly contrasting roles as warrior and monk. The seal's inscription adds another layer of intrigue. Originally, the inscription read, Sigillum Miltum Christi, which is Latin for Seal of the Soldiers of Christ. In the mid-13th century, the order's 19th grandmaster changed the inscription to Sigillum Metillum Zapisti, which replacing the Latin word for Christ with the Greek. Some scholars argue that using the Greek letter XP instead of the Latin CHR was intended to evoke Emperor Constantine's vision at the Battle of the Milvian Bridge in 312. His victory allowed him to end the official persecution of Christians in the Roman Empire. While the exact meaning of the seal remains a riddle, there is little doubt it served as a powerful symbol of the knight's commitment to their ideals. The seal's many interpretations resonates with different audiences. For some, it represents Christian soldiery and unwavering brotherhood. For others, it evokes the enigmatic nature of the Templars. And for others, it suggests corruption and sexual misconduct. I would argue that last one.
I think so.
Yeah. The seal serves as a window into the Knights Templar identity and impact on medieval Christian history. It is a symbol likely to continue to spark curiosity for centuries to come. I would caution the author of the article this. If you wanted to be fair to the legend of the Templar, you have two brothers on a horse.
Yes.
So one, you're symboling brotherhood. One, if you want to talk about the warrior and the monk, it probably is a symbol of both. So you're showing the symbol of both. If you're talking about Christ being...
Okay, this on the web for showing me the symbol of both if you're talking about Christ. Check it out.
Is AI attacking you right now?
No. Alexa just... Stop. is answering my call to the article. If you're talking about the symbol of that, was very weird. I've got That's it creepy. Recorded, so if you listen in the background you'll hear what she said. If you're talking about the symbol of Christ being riding alongside the Templar, it's very much symbolic of Christ being right next to the Templar warrior and being with them as they go into battle, or being with them as alongside them every step of the way. So it's I don't think there's much to read into it. I think it's very blatantly obvious, and the lettering is there. It tells you what it is. So I mean, it's not some big secret. So I don't know.
It's not a mystery, folks.
No big mystery there whatsoever. Second to last story today, Jess. Prehistoric discovery over at Arenskany, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, we go to a U.S. lake where they leave experts in shock and awe, you know, over by there. Hey, Wisconsin historians recently announced the discovery of at least 11 ancient canoes over there in the Badger State, including one boat that dates back to 2500 BC, don't you know?
That's an old one.
That's an old one there, hey, you know, back before they had lutefisk.
I was just going to ask if there was cheese in it.
Probably, yeah. That's before they discovered the polka. Yeah. The findings were announced in a press release by the Wisconsin Historical Society on May 23rd, in between bottles of Blatt's beer. The canoes were found in Lake Mendota, which is located outside of Madison. The Wisconsin Historical Society explained that two ancient canoes were found in a cache in the lake in 2021 and 2022. Of course, it was during COVID. Since then, historians have found at least 11 other ancient canoes along what they believe was an ancient shoreline that became submerged over time. Not all the canoes will be removed from the lake due to their fragility. In an interview with Fox News Digital on Wednesday, state archaeologist for the Wisconsin Historical Society, Dr. Amy Rosebrough, explained the significance of the discovery. She says the indigenous peoples of Wisconsin and the wider United States fish, traveled, and traded extensively on inland lakes and streams, and until now we have not had a clear look at the canoes used in the Great Lakes region, she explained. To put it in modern terms, it's like trying to understand life in the Midwest without ever seeing a real pickup truck in person. Canoes allowed people to fish in deeper lakes, to transport goods over hundreds of miles, and to travel to faraway places. Roseborough added that they believe an ancient village site is located under the waters, although it's not been found yet. Divers have found stone tools in the water, and experts believe that the lake is filled with other hidden sites. Lake Mendota is a hard lake to work in, however, Roseborough admitted. There is a limited window of visibility for diving missions, and we are exploring non-destructive remote sensing techniques that may help us this summer. Even without finding the village, the discovery of these canoes and the tools found within the first canoe that was found in human-worked stone tools called net sinkers remind us that people have lived and worked alongside the lake for thousands of years. Radiocarbon dating found that the oldest canoe dates back to 2500 BC, which would mean it was built around the time Stonehenge was constructed.
That is amazing.
That is amazing. The canoe was constructed more than 1700 years before ancient Rome was first settled, and 2500 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. All the canoes varied in age, with the youngest one being dated back to 1250 AD. The archaeologists explained that the canoes may have been intentionally cached in the water during the winter months, a standard practice to keep canoes safe from freezing and warping. Either this practice of storing canoes for winter was carried out in roughly the same spot over generations, perhaps because of a living area nearby, or we are only seeing a window into much larger sites that spanned much of the lakeshore, she described. Roseborough added that though the Great Lakes dwarf Lake Mendota, the south central Wisconsin lake is small but mighty when it comes to the archaeological potential. The Great Lakes oftentimes receive more funding for maritime archaeology, but smaller bodies of water like Lake Mendota have their own distinct histories and stories to tell us about the people who lived here hundreds and thousands of years ago, she said. We are proud to work in partnership with Native nations in Wisconsin to discover all we can about Tiwakshikomanak. I don't think I nailed that at all.
We've been off just a scotch.
A little bit. And to share their stories now and in the future at the new Wisconsin History Center that is set to open in early 2027. And my apologies for killing that name. But there you go. Brand new discoveries down there in Wisconsin.
Super cool.
Yeah. Prehistoric. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. So there you go. And finally today, Jess, an invasive 5-foot-long lizard is seen near a road in Florida. The video shows that this thing is huge and that the person who took the video did a double take because they couldn't believe that this thing actually existed. I'm going to show you a picture of this thing, Jess. Take a look at that.
What is that?
I know,
that
right?
That is creepy.
If you saw that thing cross your vision, would you even know what it was you were looking at?
No. I mean, do we know what that is? It has a very strange kind of anteater-looking head, doesn't it?
Yeah, they claim it's a lizard. A massive, and here's, I actually have video of this thing walking. Look at this thing walking. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Fantastic. I love it.
Throw out some Cheetos and run. That's all I know. It looks like a gator almost. A massive 5-foot-long lizard presumed to be an Asian water monitor. I would not be swimming in those Asian waters. I'll just tell you that much. Nope. Was seen scurrying around a busy road in western Florida recently. Renee Aland says he's huge. She can be heard saying that in a video posted to social media of the lizard. He's just strutting across the road. He's heading to the other side of the road. You may ask the old question, why? To get to the other side? Just saying. Yeah, I know it's a bad joke. When her daughter, Zoe Marzoni, asked if she could get closer to the lizard, her mother quickly answered, nope, just stay in the car. I don't blame her. Alon said on Facebook she did a double take when she saw the lizard while driving down Hillsboro Road in the city of Northport on May 20th. She said she called the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, then waited to capture it on video because the agency wouldn't make a report without photographic proof. Just imagine that. They won't come out unless you take a picture.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
No. Alon told WBBH-TV that she at first thought the lizard was an alligator. When we got closer, I looked and I saw his tongue, a lizard tongue coming out, and I was like, oh, crap, that's not a gator.
Yikes.
Yeah. Marzoni said it reminded her of the 7-foot-long pet lizard Mrs. Kipling from the Disney Channel show Jessie has.
Oh, yes.
Yep. It was like this big lizard, and I've seen something like it before. Have you heard of the show Jessie from Disney Channel? It was like that big lizard from Jessie, Marzoni said. It was just strolling. It was huge. It was like at least 4 or 5 feet. It was pretty crazy. I wanted to get out and get closer. I was like, what is that? I wanted to see it, but she said, no, stay in the car. Alanda added, it was really cool. I've never seen anything like that before, but the concern is, what is it doing to our native wildlife? Obviously, they're pretty voracious eaters, so I can't imagine they're good for our ecosystem. The Asian water monitor is native to Southern and Southeast Asia, but not the U.S. It is common as a pet and not illegal to own, according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The lizards typically grow to 4 to 6 feet and eat anything from snakes and insects to birds, frogs, rodents, and small birds, that according to the Reptarium. It is considered one of the largest lizards in the world. Here's another picture, Jess. Take a look at that bad boy.
Oh, wow. He's pretty amazing.
That's a big, big boy right there. I do not want my chipmunks to get anywhere near that thing. A week earlier, another invasive species was spotted moving up the coast of the Sunshine State. The Peters Rock Agama has made its way north to parts of central Florida, with residents of West Melbourne taking notice of the red-headed reptiles. Ken Gioli, Natural Resources Extension Agent with the University of Florida, told Fox 35 that he refers to the lizards moving up the coast as the invasion front. They're causing some impact to the environment. We still don't yet have a total handle on what it is that they're doing. The Peters Rock Agama was first documented in Florida in 1976 and has since established its presence in 20 countries from Monroe to Volusia, according to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. The species is native to tropical sub-Saharan Africa. Again, this is what happens when people get exotic pets. They bring them home and they go, I can't handle it anymore.
They're like, I didn't know he was going to get this big and live 30, 40 years.
Yeah. And then they throw it out and they hope it can live in the wild. They go, well, it'll survive. So they throw it out to the wild and hope that it survives. So
that's sad.
That's it. And that's it. Speaking of that's it and that's that, that's it for Supernatural News and Parashare for today. Again, if you have a Parashare story for us kids, just send it in, tim@darknessradio.com, or record your voice note over at darknessradioshow.com. We'll air it right here on the show, or produce your own, send it in, tim@darknessradio.com. Jess, I know you're working on books, you're working hard, and I know you've got stuff ready to release in the fall. When you do, we will promote it here on the show. We'll have you on as a guest.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Yeah, and we're getting ready for that coming up in the fall. You have trips that are coming up in the winter time, right?
We have a couple events coming up at the Palmer House that I will be posting on my website soon, so you can keep an eye out for those.
We have a link in the description of this program, jessicafreeberg.com, so you can keep up with everything that Jessica is doing. So check her out there. Tomorrow on the big show, we are talking about a woman in the 1800s who was, let's just say, troubled by a demon. Not your typical case, however. Her name is Claire Fowler. Claire had an issue with this demon, but she didn't have a trouble just with this demon, Jess. She had a trouble with being visited by not only Jesus, but Mary Magdalene.
Wow, what a story.
I know, who would come and tell her that everything would be okay. But it wasn't just Jesus and Mary Magdalene that followed her. It was also aliens. It was a fantastic story that Ron Felberg will be with us tomorrow and join us and tell us about how one psychiatrist documented this case and tried to help her. One psychiatrist that didn't believe in the teachings and musings of Freud. He was his direct rival. It is an amazing book, folks. And we'll talk about it tomorrow on the show with Ron Felber. So that's coming up tomorrow on the big program. Lots of good stuff tomorrow. You got your exorcisms. You got Jesus and Mary. And you got alien abductions.
You don't often get all of those things together.
No, it's like three great tastes that taste good together, I guess. I don't know. It's like a paranormal soup there, Jess. So
yes.
So we're going to talk about that book tomorrow. I think it's a book that you guys are all going to want to go out and get. So, yeah. Good stuff tomorrow. So I'm knee deep in it right now. It's very interesting. Not only that, but we're going to throw one of the biggest psychics of that day in with it as well, as she comes onto the case too. So there's actually the Society for Psychical Research that got involved in this case as well. So
cool.
Yeah. Lots of good stuff that's involved in this book. So lots of good stuff, but we'll tackle all that in tomorrow's show. So lots of good stuff. Lots of good stuff. So that's tomorrow on the big program. We'll wrap it up for today. For Jessica Freeberg, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you guys so much for continuing to listen to this program. If you want to support this program, it's real easy to do. One of two ways. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a family member, and get them to listen to the program. Two, if you love this program, give us a good review, 5-star review, wherever you listen to this program. And three, and this is most importantly, if you know of somebody who wants to sponsor this program, have them contact Audio Boom, who is our network, and sponsor this program. That's most important. And four, if you hear a sponsor on this program, go out and try their product. We only have people who we endorse this product. So we want you to try their products and give them a whirl. So there you go. That'll do it for today. Thank you so much for tuning in to the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio.